Brent, how are you doing today?
Well, I am doing okay. Happy Easter to everyone, by the way.
Absolutely.
And we have a plethora of SEC spring games coming up, and it bears repeating, and will bear repeating every day this week, that the games that are beyond this week, the only one you can access with regular cable is Georgia, and that is at 1 o'clock on ESPN2. The rest of the games, Alabama, Arkansas, I'm going to throw Florida in there too, Mississippi State, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt is on the SEC Network Plus. I don't mean SEC Network. I mean SEC Network Plus.
Yeah.
So fair warning to your listeners, Drew, because that unfortunately is going to be the only way to access games. I don't get that. Don't like it. And I'm sure what they're trying to do is to push everybody into the next century faster than they want to be. But
yeah.
I don't understand why they don't have the game or games on either SEC Network or SEC Network alternate channel, which they've also got and they rarely, if ever, use.
Yeah, yeah. You would think, and Alabama's been on ESPN itself previously.
Yes.
So you wonder why they're not taking advantage of this opportunity to have them on. I know that from looking at other teams as well, Notre Dame is on Peacock. It's not like generic NBC.
Yes. Right.
So I mean, it's not, you know, it is the SEC, but also I mean you've got a bevy of others. Ironically, next Saturday, USC will be on ESPN itself. Of course, that may be because they've got Lincoln Riley in that, and that's about it. But there's not much of a reason to. No offense to USC, but they really struggled last year. You might as well put Alabama on there as well as maybe a couple of these other teams.
Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah, I agree with that totally. That's a good point. That really is only game on. Now, what I want to hear really is an explanation of this. And have heard nothing about this so far, because, and particularly what's inexcusable here is the SEC Network not doing it. Look, you can't tell me that they can't put even a couple of spring games or even maybe three. Drew, they could have had a triple header, 1, 3, and 5.
Yeah.
And then have softball or baseball, at 7 and 9 or something like that, and still could have got all that in. So I really don't get this. And because I can tell you right now, there are a lot of people who are going to be sitting in their chair let's take Alabama, for instance, looking around for this game and won't be able to find it anywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think that, you know, it doesn't do the fan bases any justice by, hey, come and subscribe to our streaming service for $5 just so you can watch the spring game. I mean, it's not – nobody in their right mind is going to do that.
No.
So, yeah, I find it very, very interesting that not only – I don't know if that's just because it's the national champion – thing and they just happen to cross paths so much. But if you look at even this past weekend, Texas A&M, SEC Network Plus, Auburn, SEC Network Plus, Kentucky the exact same way. So I wonder why they're doing that. I find that quite surprising. Kind of similar to how the national championship game for college basketball was on it was on TBS as opposed to CBS.
Well, and that which was also a humongous mistake too, because frankly, there's a good, what, Drew, third of this nation or maybe, goodness, maybe even half of it that does not have TBS. And I think they've got something silly in the contract about this. the way that they do it. But, I mean, you're losing, and they'll claim they had great ratings, but they – well, that's not real smart for me when you lose a majority of your viewers, that you could easily prevent that from happening.
Yeah, and you're right. They may have had good numbers, but could you believe how many more they would have had if it were CBS
right.
as opposed to CBS? I mean, that ultimately is the way you got to think about it. I do want to talk about a couple of these spring games coming up this weekend, but first also Texas A&M, Auburn, and Kentucky having theirs this past weekend. Auburn and A&M not settling, it seems like, on any sort of quarterback right now. Brian Harsin said they're going to go through evaluations with him as well as some of the other coaches, and then have finals, of course, here coming up. Is there any sort of a concern? If you were concerned about who would be the starter more right now, should Texas A&M be a little bit more concerned that they haven't narrowed down to one guy, or should Auburn be more concerned? There's plenty of options with both schools as well.
No, it's Auburn by far, frankly. I mean, you've got T.J. Finley, who is – I mean, he played last year. He was 11-19 for 137, which is okay. And again, the numbers don't make that much. But and Robbie Ashford played pretty well, the Oregon transfer, and then Holden Jurner was 9-11. He had the better numbers, but I mean, if he ends up being a short quarterback, they're in trouble. But as far as A&M is concerned. Now, their numbers were greatly skewed by the wind. I mean, Haynes King was 11-33 for 130. I mean, that's terrible, frankly, in two
yeah.
picks. Max Johnson wasn't any better. He was 13-31 for 127 and two touchdowns. You also had Connor Wakeman, who was 7-19 for 119. So my goodness, if you put all that together, you wouldn't have much. But again, that didn't make that much difference, I don't think. As for it, I just think King, we know he's he could be a starter. We certainly know Max Johnson could be, coming from LSU, and then Connor Wigman is a real possibility at some point. It's not going to happen now. But I really think the situation in Auburn is a lot more tenuous than what you've got at A&M.
Yeah, some question marks there certainly, of course. And then Zach Calzada not really participating. I believe it was Brian Harsin
right.
said he had some sort of a shoulder injury that by the time
he
the
did.
Fall comes around, he'll be able to compete.
Yes. Yeah, now that can make a difference. And the honest truth about it is, except for having a career game against Alabama last year, Calzada went real – I mean, he wasn't great either.
Mm.
So it is going to be fine. Yes. The quarterback battles at these schools, you can pull – And look, from Thursday night, you can throw the Gators in there. What they will be able to do at that time will be fascinating. So, listen, you've got to think this year of you've either got one starter like Will Levis at Alabama or Stetson Bennett at Will Levis at Kentucky, Bryce Young at Alabama, you've either got one real settled quarterback, or you've got a school that has about three that are trying.
Right. Well, and speaking of Will Levis, he went 7 of 8 for 98 yards and two touchdown passes. He obviously was very efficient. With Kentucky, it's going to be interesting when we get to the fall just to see how far they've come with Rich Scangarello's offense, and if it looks any more different. I know that Mark Stoops was highly encouraged with the offense and their growth under Rich Scangarello and trying to implement some of those offensive the NFL principles into their offenses. Is Kentucky primed for another really good year, Brent, that you think maybe even, dare I say, could challenge Georgia?
Well, I don't know if they could challenge Georgia, but I think they could get to double-digit wins again, which would be listen, for if they could win 20-something games in 2 years, they should put up a statue frankly, for that entire coaching staff. Mark Stoops has done a tremendous job with them. Will Levis comes back, Chris Rodriguez comes back, Wandale Robinson does not, but I think they'll have enough wide receivers. The reality is always for Kentucky is the line of scrimmage. How good are they going to be at the line of scrimmage? If they're okay there, as they were last year, they can be very dangerous. And I will further say that what could be very dangerous for Florida would be to concentrate on beating Utah in the opener, because that second game of the year they play Kentucky. And as we know, Kentucky beat them last year, and frankly, Kentucky should have beat Florida. I'm not going to say regularly, but they could beat Florida multiple times in the last 5 years.
That game has always been one that could go either way. Speaking of the Florida Gators, again, their game is on Thursday night. Expectations for this game, are we going to see we're going to see all of the quarterbacks, but are you more intrigued to see Anthony Richardson? Are you more intrigued to see Jack Miller or some other asset or part of this Florida team that maybe isn't being talked about as much?
Well, then obviously the quarterbacks will be, no doubt. I think I wanted to see the overall product. I just want to see what has been done, how efficient they are, how easy they get on and off the field. I think the little things are what I want to see with them, as much as I do the personnel, because I think they will be good. Now it's going to take 2 or 3 years for him to get ready to get his staff in and also his players in. But I'll be fascinated to see not only players, but are they going to be more balanced on offense and be willing to run the ball with Napier as to where Mullen did not. And I can tell you this, Drew, in this draft, Mullen's going to get ranked over the coals with a lot of these positions, particularly at running back, and what he could have done with these guys, because they're probably going to be pretty good running backs in the NFL that were never used at Florida.
And looking at another team that's got, you know, that spring game this weekend is Alabama. Ajayi Hall in the transfer portal now. There was some skepticism about, you know, his status when he was left off of the online roster. Now he is in the portal after being suspended for violation of team rules. His story, you know, he goes from the spring game, stood out a lot last year, and then he's got the fall. He's not playing as much. I believe it was a tweet that he sent out suggesting that he was done and ready to go on. Then he's back in for the title game, has a couple good catches, but also a couple of drops. Seemed to come under some criticism from Nick Saban, and now he's in the portal as well. The ups and downs of his career as a Crimson Tide player are quite interesting. And then Alabama trying to figure out who's going to be their wide receivers, I think, is an interesting little thing to watch this weekend.
Well, Hall needed to go. Hall was not buying in. He wasn't very mature. Look, I don't know if you remember this play in the national championship game. Hall was on about the 5-yard line. The ball came right to him. His hands were positioned wrong, and he dropped the ball.
Yep.
And he catches that ball. They get down to probably the goal line, and if they would have scored, Bama would have been up by double digits. And the game, frankly, may have been over. So But they'll be fine without Hall. Who knows where he's going to go. But and listen, sure. But we know what Bryce Young can do. It's going to be interesting to see what Milroe and particularly Ty Simpson, the freshman who's coming in, is going to be able to do too. But I think, I think they'll be fine, frankly, at wide receiver. They just got too much talent as far as wide receiver to not work out as well as they should. The guys that people want to see is in particularly wide receivers, Jermaine Burton, the transfer from Georgia. Young had a 97-yard touchdown again the scrimmage, and the guy they really want to see more than anybody else is Jahmyr Gibbs, the transfer from Georgia Tech, who is coming in. They're incredibly excited about what this guy's going to do. Because, frankly, he's the best running back they've got right now, too.
Yeah, most definitely. Last thing I'm going to ask you about, Brent, is I'm sure that you saw this. Jimbo Fisher appeared on the Paul Feinbaum show, and he displayed some comments for critics of him and the way that this offseason has gone. Him and Lane Kiffin have had a back and forth previously, and he thinks that he's open with saying that NIL is an issue and the transfer portal is an issue, but he thinks that it's disrespectful for people to suggest that they are essentially buying players. Now, look, I think while it's legal, you can argue it's wrong all you want to, which I would argue it's wrong as well, but it is within the rules, and he just seems to be taking advantage of it the most, and obviously being at Texas A&M with a big booster base and having the stadium being as big as it is and everything like that, the cards fall into his favor a little bit.
Well, they do. There's no doubt. I mean, they've got unlimited funds, is what it amounts to. But they brought in more 5-stars on the defensive line than we've ever seen, which is also amazing. I think you said that well. I mean, he is able to do this because the rules allow him to do it. But I mean, you've got the situation in Texas too, where they're telling offensive linemen, you come play with us and you'll get $50,000. That until we can do something to limit this situation, Drew, this is what we're going to have. But look, the bottom line is, in his tenure at A&M at this point, his record is the same. Virtually a tie with Kevin Sumlin. And they didn't hire him to be Kevin Sumlin. They hired him to be much better.
Right, and I think I saw the same thing that I think that you did as well, where he identical as far as wining seasons, record, everything is the exact spin image of what Kevin Sumlin has done. And you're right, and not at all what they brought in Jimbo Fisher to be.
No, and look, they were 8-4 last year, and refused to play in the Gator Bowl. Frankly, a lot of people thought, they blamed it on COVID, but a lot of people thought that they didn't want him to, that he didn't want to play another game, that they would lose, that would hurt his recruiting class. So, that's another thing to deal with there, too.
It definitely is. Well, Brent, I appreciate the time as always. So much stuff that we could talk about. We'll have to save it for next Monday. But you have a good rest of the week. And enjoy your Easter Sunday, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Good. Thank you, Drew.